Actually, we'll record. We are now recording. And we are looking at David and the in his fight against his son Avshalom. Avshalom has lost. Avshalom has died. David is back in Mahanaim in hiding. He doesn't know what's happened with this battle. But we're not going to deal with that right now. Now we're going to switch to
David. Is Mahanaim across the Jordan on the east coast?
Yeah, Mahanaim is probably somewhere, it's where, when Yaakov was coming back from Laban, he stops at Mahanaim before he crosses the Jordan. So it's somewhere around the book, modern northern Jordan. Presumably isolated, in the middle of nowhere. It's where Ishbosheth establishes his kingdom when he's on the run from the Plishtim. It's where David runs away to when he's on the run from Avshalom. Place to run away to. But in terms of Tehillim, and think about this fight, which we didn't see much of the fight, and we already talked about the fact that there wasn't much fighting going on, that Avshalom was just caught by the trees. The relevant perek, I think, is the one that we say every Shabbos, Sheker Asut L'Tshua V'Rov Chelo Lo Yimale. That horses are false for salvation, and with great strength, you're still not saved. And that's a familiar parak. We say it again, Shabbos Yante, Parak Sugi Zimra. And it starts with, Ranu Tzadikim Bashem, Laisharim Navatila. The righteous will sing to God, and for the upright, praise is appropriate. And just to look at this, I'm going to have to get a little bit Kabbalistic. And I think it's going to work, and if it doesn't work, Phyllis will tell me this doesn't make any sense. Right, Phyllis? That's your job. And part of what makes it interesting, and there's no koteret, there's no introductory phrase, there's no David. If we look at it inside over here on the Safari, it just starts out, Ranu Tzadikim Bashem. No Mizmor Shir, no Hallelujah, nothing. Just goes straight into the text. And that's unusual, especially the first book of Tehillim, which is all the David, the first part. This is the only one that really doesn't have that. And this is the way Feivel Meltzer, who I quote before, is one of the editors for the Masad Rav Kook, Dot Mikra, on Tehillim, his Sefer about Tehillim.
Penny, could you make the print a little bigger? Is that hard to do?
Better?
Better.
Okay. Betzim Kavanatenu. So this is what Meltzer says, our essence of what we intend to do. The Tiena Uda, I want to point out the phenomenon. She'en reshit la perek. There's no introduction. There's no beginning to this perek of Tehillim. Kumar she'en kotevet. There's no address la perek v'domer la'ele, that's not like similar to other ones. Anu motzim baro perekei Tehillim. We see every other perek. Avdezu omeret darsheni. This phenomenon says, you need to explain me. That's a great phrase that Rashi uses all the time. Enet mikra omer ela darsheni. The text cries out. It needs an explanation. What's going on here? It says, Yeh perkenu, our perek here, Lam Gimel, a perek hayatom hayachidi. It's the only orphaned perek without such a koter b'sefer. And this book, Ishe en anu yecholim limso sibal yatmuto, for which I can't find a good reason why it is isolated. What's wrong? What's wrong with this that it doesn't have an introduction? We said that we need to explain this. The text cries out for explanation. But how to explain it? In Ani Yodim. I have no idea. The little ellipsis there is a couple of discussion of that. He has no idea what to do with this fact. Ani Abdachem, I, my servant, addressing us, the readers. Ainli kol hasharab ben yidun zeh. I don't have a suggestion here. And none of the other commentators say anything about this. Ranu Tzadikim, why is it so different? Still, I'm pointing this out. In our opinion, editorially, my opinion, sometimes the questions are just as important as the answers. So we're going to see if we can't answer his questions over here. So if you look at other parakim that don't have titles, you look at Perek Bet, for instance, Perek Yud don't have any titles. they clearly are continuations of the previous one. You know, the Perek division doesn't reflect it. Tehillah, it has the same theme. Perek Aleph, Perek Bet of Tehillah clearly are one long Tehillah. And you might argue that this one is a continuation. I'm going to look at it inside over here. Look at the end of the last one. It says, Simchu b'Hashem, b'gilu tzadikim, b'harninu kol yishrei lev. Has a similar phrases to the Hezarina, Rinu tzadikim, tzadikim, tzadikim. Right? Yishrei lev, yisharim. So it sounds like maybe it is a continuation, and really we should read Lamed Bet plus Lamed Gimel together. But they have very different themes. They don't go together. The previous perek is all about is David's tshuva. It starts out with an introduction, La David maskil, Ashrei nasoi pesha. Happy is he whose sin is being born, Kisui chatas, whose sin is covered. And we looked at that, talking about David and tshuva. That's what perek Lamed Bet is about. Lamed Gimel is not. It's all about how wonderful Hashem is. So it's hard to say it's really meant to be part of the same one. So I'm going to take a different approach. Look at an approach and answer and say that, in fact, there is a koteret there. There is a title to this, and that Rananu is the title. Just like the Hallelu or Hodu Lashem, we assume that Hodu is like the introduction to the Perek. So too, Rananu is a kind of introduction. It's Rananu, Tzadikim B'Hashem, Rananu. This is a Rina kind of Perek Tehillah. And we know the Gemara in Pesachim, Amar Rabbi Shuvan Levi, Basara Mamarot Shel Shevach Ne'amar Sefer Tehillim. That there are 10 expressions of Shevach, of praise. 10 different kinds, as Mizmor and Shir and Hallelujah, all of that. Those are so there are 10 different ways of 10 different kinds of poems in Sefer Tehillim. That's the Gemara there. And there are a number of different ways of understanding what 10 are we talking about. We're looking at the Tikkuni Zohar. Again, looking at it Kabbalistically, because I think it's going to be interesting, and I think it works. The Tikkuni Zohar, which is basically contemporary with the Zohar itself, early, I guess, 1200s, Kabbalistic work on a whole list of essays on Breishit. One of them, chapter 13, Tikkun Yud Gimel, is all about the Asara Mamarot Shel Shevach. It goes through each one of those 10 praises, and it lists them, and it has each one of them corresponding to one of the Sefirot. The idea that Hashem manifests in the world in 10 different ways, and they say that David represented those 10 in the 10 different Mamarim Shevach, different expressions of praise. What he says about Rina, Tisha'a Berina, the ninth one, we're going to go through their Kabbalah, and what's the ninth? Is it Sefira? But the ninth, it's Yesod. We'll get there. So the ninth expression of Shevach, the ninth kind of Tehillah, is Rina, this one here. V'da'ihi Rananu Tzadikim B'Hashem. And that's the one that we have here. That's Rananu Tzadikim B'Hashem. That this particular Perek Tehillah is an expression of Rina. The Daga de Tzadik Chayol Amin. This is the idea that the Tzadik is the life of the world. We'll have to see what that means. Mitaman Rina, that's what Rina is, and it's an expression that the Tzadik says, I see Hashem everywhere. Uve Prokana, and that's where his salvation comes from. We joy in Hashem being present. Padukitziv Semach Tzadik, and we have a pasuk that says that Tzadik sprouts. And similarly, mitachtav yitzmach, and it sprouts from out of that. Again, this is Zohar, this is very hard to understand. See if we can get something. Mitachtav vadai. And it means literally out from under this, out from under this rina is where the purkana comes from. Ahi ta'i asiri lakula. It's out of this rina is what, which is the ninth, comes the tenth. The tenth of all of us, where she wrote. That's the expression of rina. What does that mean? Well, let's look at our Sefirot now. Again, the Sefirot are the ways that Hashem, manifests in the world. There are different kinds of words for that. And they are different, we understand, we know them from, say, the Sefirot HaOmer, the text has it, you know, we have Bedula and Gevura and all that. And those, we call those the lower seven, the ones that we imitate. And that comes from a pasuk in Divrei Yamin, where David is describing how he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash. Here are the plans of it, and here's my tefillah. When we quote this pasuk, L'cha Hashem ha-gedula, ba-gevura, ba-tifera, ba-netzach, ba-hod, yichol ba-shemayim ba-aretz, L'cha Hashem ha-mamacha, ba-minyan, say l'chol rosh. And the Kabbalists took from that. I said before, I don't think David was a Kabbalist in that sense of this kind of mystical system of understanding how the world works, but I think the Kabbalists looked this system and looked at the Tehillim as these for these kinds of ideas. And they took this idea that there are seven phrases here, Dula, which we translate as Chesed, Gura, which is Din, Tiferet, which is a harmony putting those together, Netzach, Hod, Kol Bashamayim Ba'aretz, the sixth one, which is the ninth if you're counting all 10, is everything that exists in heaven and earth. Some of that gets called Yesod, the basis. And L'cha Hashem HaMlacha, that's Malchut, is the seventh one. So Rina corresponds to this, this idea of Kol Bashamay Ba'aretz, again, which our list in Sfira Omer is the Yesod. And what that is, the sphere of Yesod, how we understand this, God's manifestation of the world, that's what we call immanence, with an A. That Hashem is present in the world. And we're going to go Wikipedia to define that. The doctrine of theory immanence, holds the divine encompasses or manifests in the material world, suggests the spirit world permeates the mundane. There's something everywhere. God is everywhere in the world around us. It's often contrasted with theories of transcendence. That's the opposite of immanence. Transcendence is God is beyond the world, outside of it, which divine is outside the material world. And it's a dialectic, because Hashem is both, right? Here and also outside, part of it. And what the Tikkun Zohar is pointing out, that this idea of Yesod gives birth to the idea of the 10th one, which is Malchut. Yesod gives rise to Malchut. And in terms of Hashem's manifestation in the world, it's the fact that Hashem rules over the world, it derives from this Hashem's creation, ongoing presence. One comes from the other. And this is what the Ramban says. If you look at the Ramban on the pasuk about Hashem Beirach at Abraham Bakol, right when he sends off his servant to get a wife for Yitzchak, Abraham has everything. What does the word kol mean there? The quote in Benjamin, Bakol mi kol kol. Ramban, of course, is a Kabbalist. So he gets all Kabbalistic. And if you look at the article translation of Ramban, they'll say, okay, the rest of this is esoteric. We're not going to translate this part. But we'll record it for you here. V'yamru ki bakol, that this word, Beirach Hashem bakol, shirmoz el inyan gadol, it's a hint at something important. V'yesh l'kadosh baruch hu midah tikra kol, that Hashem has this midah, for sphere that's called kol. V'nei shehi yisod hakol. Again, that's catching. Yesod is the basis. That Hashem is the reason for existence and permeates everything. Ne'amar Anochi Hashem Oseh Kol. I'm the one who creates everything. Ne'amar Yitron Eretz Bakol. That the existence of the world, the fact that there's something in the world that's good, is because of this kol. Everything. Ne'amar Yitron Eretz V'Tova Hagadola. That the goodness of the world, Shofea Al Kol Bayolam, that permeates everything, that influences everything around us. But we're a ki bakol hi, that this is Hashem is ki bakol. Umida acheret tikra bat, netzel mimena. And there is something that derives from this kol. Another abmida. Uvahu manhigat da kol. That's how Hashem guides the world, rules the world. Hi beit dino shel kosh baruch hu. And this is what we call the beit din of Hashem. Hu hanirmaz v'Hashem. Whenever you see the word v'Hashem, in the Torah, Rashi always says it means hu beit dino. What does hu beit dino mean? That's right, Ramban saying, mystically speaking, that's the means by which Hashem rules the world. And that is also called Knesset Yisrael. That Knesset Yisrael, the body of Israel, is representation of Hashem's malchut in the world. So this is really hard to understand. I'm trying to put this idea together. But in Hasidut, specifically, when you look at the Chabad sites and all that, it's called panentheism. which is not pantheism. Pantheism is that the universe is God. That's Spinoza. But panentheism, Hashem, it permeates everything. And that's the idea that Hashem is Hamakom, meaning Hashem, the world exists in God, not that God exists as part of the world. There's Wikipedia panentheism, which meaning all is in God, pan in and theos. The divine pervades and interpenetrates every part of the universe, and also extends beyond space and time, beyond the material. Coined, we don't care about that. And as opposed to Baruch Spinoza's pantheism, where he said, well, the laws of science are God. Those are the same thing. No.
Danny, that's why we can't understand it.
What?
Because it's beyond space and time, and we are not beyond space and time.
That's true. So we like, so that becomes my problem with this Kabbalah in general, is we're doing mysticism. We're trying to put words on things that we can't express in words. Okay, but Uncle Moishi expressed it in words. You know Uncle Moishi? Right, it's the Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere.
Yes, I've heard those.
Right, that's the idea here. Up, up, down, right, okay? And as Gil's student said, he has this essay, reflected on returning from an Uncle Moishi concert. The song Hashem is everywhere makes me uncomfortable. It's beyond my comprehension. Excuse me, the Vilna Gaon would label that the panentheism inherent in the song is heresy. Vilna Gaon is very clear that he says that we're getting too close to pantheism, we get too close to Sabbateanism, Sabbatei, when we say that everything is divine. Everything exists because Hashem is part of everything. That means that everything is holy, and therefore everything is good, there's nothing wrong, and we can do anything. That was the Vilna Gaon's problem with this idea. And with Rav Shach's problem with Chabad Hasidut as well. But it's very clear that they would hold by this panentheism. I think that's the Zohar's idea of Yesod, the sphere of Yesod. That Hashem is up, up, down, down. Hashem is everywhere, part of the world here. You don't see that in this parak. Even though I think they looked at this parak and looked at it there, that's not quite what it says. So there's a little bit different. It's not that Hashem is an element divine. It's that Hashem's chesed fills the world, and that's how Hashem rules it. Well, that's the same thing as Hashem as the divine fills the world. I don't know. But they say, okay, that's what the Keter. The Keter is Ranu Tzadikim by Hashem. That's what Rina means, that we appreciate Hashem's presence in everything that we do. That's what a Rina is. And that's what I would say this is what this parak is.
Danny, I was going to say when we started, Rina to me is a word that expresses spontaneousness, an expression of spontaneous gratitude or joy or whatever.
Is that right?
So it makes sense that you don't have an introduction to it.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. Okay. You can give next week's cheer, okay?
No, you're doing great, man.
Then we have Luchu Naranana.
Right. So that I can say is a little bit different. Okay, that's all right. That's also, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. That is definitely as Arena starts with the word there. That's one of the section of Tehillim that's attributed to Moshe. So it's a little bit different the way I think about it as opposed to the David Tehillim as opposed to the Moshe ones. But I'm going to have to add that. That's a good point on my list of organizing it. Naranana, expression of Rina. But I think it's important to look at this idea. Okay, Malchut comes from Yesod. Yesod is that everything is divine. Malchut is the control over it. And that one comes from the other one. I think that's important for looking at David because, again, Yesod is sort of Malchut. And the Sefirot are not, we think about the Sefirot rather, not because we care about understanding theology because that's too deep for me, but because it's how we're supposed to behave. We learn from them. That's the idea of the Sefirot Omer, is that we're supposed to go through these. We're supposed to experience, we're supposed to do acts of chesed. We're supposed to do acts of din in a way that respects the divine. That's the idea of imitatio dei. Avashal Omer, anveyu heve domel lo. Mauchanun rachum ata heve chanun rachum. And that applies to the idea of malchut as well. That our authority is a reflection of divine authority. If I'm a boss over somebody else, I need to realize that that's my actions need to be coming out of the sense of Yesod, that we are part of the kol, part of the community. A melech has to represent the people, not simply be a power over them. Again, malchut comes from kol. And that, I think, was Avshalom's mistake when he decided he wanted to be king without realizing you need to be part of the people, not simply better than them.
Danny, that was a message in Sefer Devarim, that the king was supposed to serve the people,
yes,
not the other way around.
Yes, and I think that I think underlying that is the message that Malchut is explicitly has to derive from Yesod. Yesod is the everything, Malchut is the rulership over it, but one has to come from the other one. So let's look at our parak. Again, starts out with our introduction. Rana said he came by Hashem, Lahisham Nimna Vatila. We talked about what we're praising Hashem for is this. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. We'll praise Hashem with our musical instruments, Kinar and the 10th string Nevel. Shir lo shir chadash. We just sing him a new song.
Another thing for spontaneous.
Very good. See, I'm telling you, we just put this together and we'll just give the shir here. You should sing well with joyous crying out. That's a proof that you need to practice, right? You should play well. And this way Rabbi Nun puts it, talking about the rest of the word. That's just the kind of the introduction of UK. Everyone starts singing. We'll talk about what we're singing about in a moment. Rabbi Nun talked about this parak, says, Ba Mizmar, this Mizmar, this parak, Tehillim Shema, that summarizes an astoundingly short number of psukim, only 22 psukim, at Ikrei Amunah Hayudit. It goes through all of the fundamentals of Jewish belief. Mitocha Torah, that from the Torah, the wrote Rabbi Motei Rambam. Many generations before the Rambam put down the Ani Ma'amin, 13 Ikrei Amunah. But this the language here is a personal one of singing, there, of crying out. It's a poetic language. The language here leaves a place for this. It is a poem that just describes all the Ikrei Amuna of the Torah. Look for those ikarim. How do we understand it? We said before, this idea of shir chadash, as opposed to shira, it's shira chadash is always talking about the potential of the eschatological future. This is in the future where Hashem, everything will be perfect. This is the end of days. We've seen the word eschatological before, right? And do the end of the world. Achrit yamin. The end of history. Hashem will be the ruler of all humanity, live in a perfectly just society. That's our Shir Chadash. That's what we're looking forward to. And it continues, Yashar Devar Hashem. Hashem's words are upright. Kol Maseh B'Munah. Everything he does is faithful. Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. That's what Hashem wants. Tzedakah U'Mishpat. And Chesed Hashem Malah Aretz. And Hashem's Chesed, Hashem's loving kindness fills the world. That's what allows the world to exist. And that's what Kohen Zohar says is this Yesod. Loving kindness, it is imminent. We can feel it everywhere. The sense that Hashem is running the world is here, and it's chesed allows it to exist. It starts from creation. Hashem created the world. Bar Hashem Shemayim Nasu. The word of God, the heavens were created. Ruach Piv Kol Tzva'am. And when Hashem said, created all the hosts of heaven, Kones Kaned Me'ayam, gathered together in a pile, all the waters of the sea, Noteh Baratzot Tamot, put all the waters into the deep storehouses. That's the third day of creation. Yiru Hashem Kol Haaretz, and the whole world fears God, Mimeni Agur Kotei Tevel, and all the human beings, the inhabitants of the inhabited world, that's what Tevel means, fear Hashem. Why? Ki Hu Amar Ve'ayi, because Hashem said, created the world, said and it was, Hutzivi Avi Amod, commanded, and the world continues to exist. So it was, and it's the Amod, and it continues on by Pi Hashem. And then second, that's part one. That's the first Ikra Emunah. Second Ikra Emunah is that Hashem's involvement continues through history. Hashem mefirat zat goyim. Hashem can uproot the advice, the plans of nations, hini machshot amim, and nullifies the thoughts of all the nations. But atzata Hashem la'olam tamod. Hashem's itza, Hashem's plans last forever. Machshot libo l'dor v'dor, and the thoughts of Hashem's heart metaphorically last for all generations. And the Malbim says that's the difference between itza and machshava. That the itzah here means the plan, that there's a plan for creation, the plan for history, and that's what lo'olam tamod exists forever. Machshavot hema emseim hamuvilim el tachlit, and machshavot is the medium, the things that actually happen to make that eventual plan come true, and that's in each individual generation. So there's a big picture, and there's the little things that are there. They're all under God's command. And he continues, Malbim continues reading this pasuk. The fact that Hashem guides everything with particular providence, attention to every detail. So that in the broad scope of history, Hashem wants something to happen. He will make sure that the plans of nations, of kings and leaders, will not happen if it's against Hashem's plan. And Hashem will make sure everything happens according to the general principle. The eventual plan of history will happen. The details, yes, we have individuals have free will, but over the broad scheme of history, we don't have that kind of control. That's still in Hashem's hand.
That's a little difficult, though, Danny.
Yeah.
When you think about horrible things like, you know,
it's terribly difficult,
and the Holocaust, it's hard to think like that was part of God's plan.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not a new question. That is the question. That's a Saigaralo question. I don't have those answers. How do you look at that? What do you even think about that? Right. So we have the same faith here that Hashem rules the world, but bad things happen. And there are answers. And yes, you should ask the question. And again, if we're reading Tehillim, the answer almost always is, it'll work out. It'll be okay in the end. That's not always a good answer. Yov has a different answer. Mishnah has a different answer. As Meltzer said at the beginning about the text, sometimes it's important to ask the questions even if we don't have the answers. Tehillim is always going to give you the answer. With Tehillim, the tribute to David, they are always going to give you the answer of Kol Da'avid Rachmana L'Tava Avid. Everything Hashem does is for good. You just have to look at it more long term. Does that work for everything? No. But it is an answer. As a textual thing, I'm not sure what to make of the fact that it's parallel. Tzad Hashem leolam tamod, machshavot libo l'dor v'dor, same with the previous pesek. It's not chiastic, which is something that is almost always, you know, we have the verb, noun, verb, in reversing order. These are parallel. And we often talk about the chiasm. I have to buy Rabbi Foreman's I Love Chiasm t-shirt. This is not, and I don't know what, I know I never talked about the opposite of the chiasm. What do you do with Psukim that are not chaos? Does it tell you something because they're straight parallel? Again, Tzad Hashem, machshavot libo, the noun, lom tamod, lasts forever, the dor b'dor lasts forever. It's not chaos, it's straight. I don't know what to make of that. So if anyone has a suggestion.
Artistic license.
Okay, I mean, that's obviously an answer, but we make such a big deal about it when it's opposite. You know, when it's the chiasm and how it's sort of centering towards a set common point, you'd like to have something more than, well, you just like, it sounds good that way. Which is not, I mean, yeah, that's the one way of reading it. It's that's the poet's choice for how to read it. Okay, but I'm not going to deal too much of that because the parak continues on. Hashem acts in history. And it goes from the universal to the particular. That he acts on certain people, certain nations in particular, are the tools for Hashem's actions in history. That's our job, right? Ashrei Goy Asher Hashem Elokav. Happy is the nation that Hashem is their God. Am Bachar L'Nachalo, the nation that he chose as his inheritance. Ram and the Malbin again. Here points out that those are two stages. They're two different things. Ashrei Goy Asher Hashem Elokav. It's Ashrei Ap Al Pizet Yomro. Ashrei Goy Hashem Elokav. It's Kol Goy Hamim Min Bashem. Oved Hashem Hulokav. That corrects anybody who serves Hashem. Ashrei, that's good. That's the Rambam's idea that even Islam and Christianity come to bring Hashem's presence in the world. We've succeeded in spreading ethical monotheism throughout the whole world. That's the Goy Asher Hashem Elokav. Ki az hu mashgiach me'ito, because then he is the one who watches over them. More than that is Ashrei Ha'am. And then the chosen nation is even at a higher level. There's even more hashkacha there. It's more than those who chose Hashem. Hashem chose them. That's what it means, that we have a responsibility. That's obviously meant to us. The old Am Sugula, the chosen nation. And Hashem will guide us in miraculous ways. That's the idea of Hashkachat Hashem. Hashem is seeing all of us. So that's where the parak goes now. Hashem is watching everyone, the world as a whole, those who accept him, and then the Am HaNivchar in specific. Mishamayim Hibit Hashem. Ra'ah Kol Bnei Adam. Continues on. And now this is definitely not the idea of immanence. This is the idea of transcendence. Hashem is outside the universe, kind of from watching this mystical Shamayim. It's a dialect. It's a, both are true simultaneously, even though they're mutually inconsistent. Hashem watches over the world, sees everything that human beings do. Mimachon shivto hishkiach. That's the idea of hashkacha. Hashem pays attention to divine providence from machon shivto, wherever that is. Ayei makom kvodo. Al kol yishvei ha'aretz, to everyone who lives. Hayotzer yachal libam. Hashem creates all of their hearts together. Understands everything that human beings do. The Malbim says this is a deep philosophical idea. Hayotzer yachal libam. See if I can do it justice. Hayotzer. Bala shiv, that this is coming to address the idea. Amashet ta'anu hapilosofim, that the philosophers complain or try to understand. And if you ever see in classical commentaries, anyone uses the term philosophim, it's always negative. It's as opposed to those who think right, the ones who are just ivory tower academics are the philosophim, philosophers. What does divine knowledge mean? Shalom masim habechirim, hem esharim umitrabim umishtanim milchadshim. That if human beings act under free will, that they do different things and they change with time. And if we're claiming that Hashem's knowledge of the world is permanent, it's fixed, it can't change. Hashem can't know something now and know something different later. That's inconsistent with the idea of the divine. Hashem can't learn something new. Everything is all at once. And he's not talking about whether the existence of free will versus determinism. It's just the fact that knowledge changes in time. That's the problem he's trying to deal with right now. This is something the Rambam deals with. This is Aristotle worries about this problem. How can the God change, but then how can things change in time? Then God's knowledge changes. Philosophers worry about these sorts of things.
But Shuvah Bazeh. Really, it's not God's knowledge that changes, it's man's knowledge that changes.
That's his answer, is that the idea of time is outside of that. Hashem creates them all at once, and it's all of the futures all created at once. We can see all, and Hashem can see all of it exist in all of that at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fundamentally is the answer there. It's not God's knowledge changing. He's going to quote the Marchkatu B'mor Nevuchim. So the Malbim is going to quote the Rambam. There's a difference between the knowledge of someone who's actually doing an act, knowing that they are doing an act, between someone else who's observing something happening. That's when Hashem creates the world. Hashem creates the hearts of man. Therefore, Hashem understands, knows everything that's going to happen. It was all inherent in the creation at once. Again, this leaves free will as a separate question. It's still a good question. That's not what he's talking about here. There is no new knowledge there. We don't claim that God is changing. When the thing actually happens with time. He said, because all these new different things are happening, that's fine. Hashem knew that from the moment of creation. The concept of the moment of creation doesn't even imply. And same thing too, with that there are so many different people. Everyone thinks different things. Choose different things. Hashem created everything all at once. That's all part of the same underlying creation, and that's God's knowledge. Existence of the world is God's knowledge there. This is one of those divine theological concepts I still have to get my head around. Hashem knows everything they do. And so therefore, there is no change in Hashem's knowledge of the world. It simply is. Again, whether the author of Tehillim meant that kind of concept here is unclear to me. But in a sort of a, I think poetically that's underlying it, it was that thought, was it put together that in that kind of an organized sense as a philosophical text? That's not what Tehillim is all about. But still, Hashem creates the world, watch the world, that's the idea, that Hashem has created everything all at once, and therefore can be mishkiach everything all at once. And therefore Hashem's knowledge will not change, will not multiply, despite the thing that people are doing all these different things. That's the Malbim understanding of that. Alshik says something a little different about Yotzer Yachad Libam, is talking about not humanity as a whole was all created all at once, but that we are all created with a multiplicity of drives, of inclinations, we have a different yotzrot, yotzrotov, yotzrot, and then they're all pulled together. And that's where Hashem created us, each of us, with the yotzer yachad libam. Hashem created us as a sum of many libot. And within every heart, Hashem l'chol ish v'ish, that every individual has, yotzrotov, yotzrot. Inclinations are good, you do wrong. Hashem basically created that unity together. We put these two aspects of our minds and hearts together. That's why Hashem understands what we do. Hashem is going to judge us based on how we act. Hashem has created us with our... We contain multitudes, is Walt Whitman said. We contradict ourselves. Hashem knows that that's intentional. And then we get to what I think is the key point for this parak is the next line, which is Ein HaMelech Noshab Rov Chayil. Hashem controls the world, and therefore, and again connecting this to David Avshalom, king is not saved because of the size of his army, Gibor L'Natzeo Barav Koach. The mighty man is not saved because of his strength. Sheker Asus L'Tshua. We won't be saved by horses, rochelo yumalet, and strength won't save him. Hashem decides how the world works. That's what this parak is all about. And therefore, we have to look to Hashem. In Hashem el Reav, Hashem look to those who fear him, the machalim l'chasto, who hope in Hashem's chesed. Chesed Hashem malah aretz, that's what we have to look for survival. To save them from death, to allow them to survive in famine. So that was all Ra'anu, third person. So now it's going to turn to be us. Now that we've given this whole essay on the nature of the divine, And we thought about all these deep theological ideas. Nafshenu chiktel Hashem. We wait for God. As retainer began, who? He's our savior, our shield. He voice machli beta, and that's where we'll be happy with Hashem. Ki b'shem kach avatachnu, we trust in Hashem's name. Ki chasach Hashem aleinu, may Hashem's chesed be upon us. Kashay yuchanlach, just as we are asking. That's all we're looking at Hashem and saying, Hashem save us. That's all we look for. And that ends with this. Bo yismach libeinu, parallel to the beginning when it says, Rana Sudi Tzadikim b'Hashem. It's not la Hashem. Not that the Tzadikim sing to Hashem. It's b'Hashem, it's with. Hashem, it's an instrumental ba. It's through Hashem. That's what allows us to sing, rejoice, because we feel Hashem's presence in the world. And that's why that starts out with the Tzadikim Ranu. Now it's us Ranu, our hearts Yismach Bo in with Hashem. That's what we need to feel. And that's why David succeeds and Abshalom fails, because Hashem, David realizes that. Everything happens through the Chesed Hashem that permeates the world.
Danny, I would just say that Yihastel Hashem Aleinu, that Hashem's chesed should be with us, meaning that we should also be Malei Chesed.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. I think that's always true, is that everything we look at, especially we did that with Tilim Kuf Aleph and Kuf Bet, that parallel there. All the goodness that we attribute to Hashem creates a responsibility.
Yeah.
In our interactions with others. That's our job. Right? Hashem, I guess that's a good way of putting it. He has the Hashem alayim. Your chesed be in us. Kashay yukhan luck, like we look for in you. We're going to spread that chesed out.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my Kabbalistic understanding of Ranu Tzadikim. I will stop recording here.